بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير، الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، وهو العزيز الغفور. الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا، ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت، فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور، ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين، وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير، وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير. إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور، تكاد تميز من الغيظ، كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير، قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير، فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير، فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير. إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به، إنه عليم بذات الصدور. ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا، فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور. أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور، أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا، فستعلمون كيف نذير. ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير. أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن، ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن، إنه بكل شيء بصير. أمن هذا الذي هو جود لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن، إن الكافرون إلا في غرور. أمن هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه، بل لجوا في عتو ونفور. أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم. قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون. قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. قل إنما العلم عند الله وإنما أنا نذير مبين. فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون. قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم. قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا، فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين. قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين. صدق الله العظيم. الله رب العالمين.
اللهم آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة، اللهم ارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم ارزقنا يا خير الرازقين، اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وخطايانا كلها يا أكرم الأكرمين. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين، آمين. وحق لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. Now with this, our program is going to be continued. I request to all of you, be ready and take your place, take your notebook, take your bench. Jazakumullahu khairan.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا. Honorable and respectable حضرت علامہ مولانا حبیب الرحمن صاحب مد ذلہ العلی امام الخطیب مسجد ہذا، brothers and sisters, lovable youngsters, students of knowledge, those who have joined us after Salatul Isha, and those who have been with us since Salatul Maghrib, to each and every one of you, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It seems like the samosa break has done well for some of you. We are with you till around 8:30 p.m. We have plenty to get through. We took it nice and easy on the local roads just before Isha. We've been through the first four pages covering the 30 minor signs of the last hour in that first session, as well as spending some time on the introduction to the fundamental belief in the signs of the last hour. As I've already mentioned, but for those of you who have just joined us, for your benefit, this is part three of the Principles of Creed nationwide tour, which we initiated in 2021. Alhamdulillah, we visited and have delivered lectures in 54 different locations over the last 2 years, distributing 3,500 books fi sabilillah. I had no intention to have this year's books printed, but a dear brother from Halifax, Brother Shaban, for the Isar al-Thawab of his noble father, in 1 week printed 2,000 books. So, though the initial original set of notes were not actually designed for printing, hence why in a few pages you see some big gaps. So one of the brothers yesterday said, Imams are perfect for them to make additional notes, the gaps are good. But nevertheless, time is of the essence. We are on page 4 here. If you don't have a book or you prefer something visual to look at, then you've got the screen here on my right hand side. Just before Salatul Isha, and may Allah Almighty accept it from us, We went through the famous narration of that companion who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked about the hour. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What have you done in order to prepare for it?" And he responded with honesty by saying that, "I have not prepared much in terms of prayer or action. However, I do indeed love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba," that you are with the one who you love, or a person will be with the one who he loves. One thing we didn't cover, middle of page 4, was that our master Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, this is that companion who served Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 10 years. He said that we had never been so glad as we were on hearing that saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was the happiest day of our lives. Happiest day of our lives. And then Sayyidina Anas bin Malik says what? "Therefore I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And I love Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And I hope that I will be with them because of my love for them, though my deeds are not similar to theirs." Muqabla tanina. You can't make any comparison. Allahu Akbar. And this is the purpose of such gatherings, where we profess our love and express our mahabba for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the Shaykhain Karimain radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. May Allah Almighty raise us in their company on the day of Qiyamah. Al-alamatul kubra, major signs of the last hour. And I'm not going to go through every aspect of it, again, cautious of the time. There is so much for us to go through this evening. The discussion here begins with the narration that we find in Sahih Muslim Sharif, Kitabul Fitan wa Alamatu Sa'a, where Hazrat Hudhayfa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out to us suddenly as we were busy in discussion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba ikram, "What do you discuss about? What's your discussion in relation to?" The companions responded by saying that, "We are discussing about the hour." So again, our sitting here is fulfilling the sunnah of the Sahaba. Today people don't want to talk about the hour. People are scared about the end of times. We all as humans naturally fear those things which go against the norm. Those things which are against the supernatural. But talking about these things, this in reality, as I've mentioned, is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of his sahaba. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it will not come until you see 10 signs before, and in this connection, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentioned the 10 signs. These are the 10 major signs. Number one, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the smoke. Number two, Dajjal. Number three, the beast of the earth. Number four, the rising of the sun from the west. Number five, the descent of Isa, the son of Maryam. Number six, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog. Number seven, eight and nine are the landslides in three places, one in the east, one in the west, and one in Arabia, at the end of which is the tenth sign, which is a fire which will burn forth from Yemen and will drive the people towards the place of their assembly. In this narration which has been referenced here, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned how many major signs of the hour? 10 major signs of the hour. And again, you should be aware of this. For those of you thinking there are 7, I've already alluded to the landslides in 3 places as 3 separate signs. So we expand upon this. Bottom of page 4, the first major sign which will transpire after the minor signs of the last hour become more evident, and the earth will be full of Christians and Jews, is the appearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Mahdi ka murad, the one who gives guidance. So when the Christians and the Jews will dominate the whole world with the exception of the Haramain Sharifain, sincere Muslims will move to the two blessed cities and they will begin their search of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Bottom of page 4 say that Umm Salama, mother of the believers, Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And of course you should know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in total had 11 pure wives. How many? If you didn't know it, write it down. One of the mothers of the believers, who was the last of the mother of the believers to leave this dunya, Sayyidah Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Mahdi will be from my family. And he will be from the descendants of my daughter Fatima. Teri nasle paak mein hai, bacha bacha noor ka, tu hai aine noor tera, sab garana noor ka. So despite some people claiming to be the Mahdi on TikTok, don't worry. Most of the prophetic narrations indicate that Imam Mahdi al-Islam will appear when Israel has fallen. Yani what we refer to as and know as Palestine. When this land and is no longer in the control of the Zionist Jews, that is when we will find the appearance of Imam Mahdi al-Islam amongst us. In the current situation, as we come towards the end of 2023, that seems quite difficult to imagine. No doubt. Sadaqta ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you spoke the truth, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Further to this, top of page 5, there is another narration that we've recorded here and mentioned with reference, Sunan Abi Dawud Sharif, Hadith number 4290. Sayyidina Ali Murtaza one day was looking at his blessed son, Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Nawasai Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I've said this for a number of years, I'll say it again. That sadly and unfortunately in our Sunni masajid, we don't have the mentioning and the remembrance of Imam Hassan as much as we should. Yani ya Hussein asa kehne hai na, and rightfully so. But where we say ya Hussein, we should also say ya Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Kya baat hai raza? Kya baat hai raza? Us chamanistane karam ki zahra hai kali jisme Hussein aur Hassan phool. This is the correct understanding. We don't favor one grandson over the other. Rather, we love them both equally. We remember them both equally. Where we say ya Hussein, we should say ya Hassan as well. So Sayyidina Ali says what? Looking at his son, Imam Hassan, he says that this son of mine is a Sayyid, is a chief. We were discussing this briefly just before the Adhan of Isha. Here you go, by way of reference. As named by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, Ali wanted to call him Harb, warrior, soldier. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, his name will be Hassan. And then when Sayyidina Ali was blessed with his second son, in the fourth year after Hijrah, in the month of Sha'ban, he was born. Again, he wanted to name his second son, Harb. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, he is Hussein. Hassan or Hussein. Two names from Jannah. And from his loins, narration again, from his loins, will come forth a man who will be called by the name of your Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and resemble him in conduct and not in appearance. He then mentioned the story about his filling the earth with justice. So Imam Mahdi al-Islam's actual name is Muhammad. Muhammad. As we mentioned, it will be from amongst the descendants of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His father's name will be Abdullah and his mother's name Amina. Initially, he will be a resident of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And then, at the age of 40, he will come to Makkatul Mukarramah. in terms of appearance. Again, these things have been told to you and me 1400 years ago. In terms of appearance, the Prophet ﷺ said what? He'll be reddish, white in complexion, with a wide face and a slight stutter in his speech. And during the month of Ramadan, when Imam Mahdi al-Islam will go towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, whilst making tawaf around the Kaaba al-Sharifa, the people will begin to recognize him. And the people will request to become murideen, disciples, followers of Imam Mahdi al-Islam. But initially, he will refuse. And then at a time, a voice will be heard from the unseen. And that voice will proclaim, Hada Mahdiyun. That this is the Mahdi, Khalifatullah. He is the Caliph of Allah Almighty. Listen to him and follow him. Therefore, all the Muslims will pledge allegiance to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And leadership will be given to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Should we be waiting for the arrival of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam? Or should we actually be doing something proactively ourselves? A question for us to reflect upon. Because again, some people are defeatist and saying, oh, the only solution to these issues and problems, the Palestinians innocently losing their lives, Rohingya Muslims on the borders of Burma and Bangladesh losing their lives, Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps in China, Indian occupied Kashmiris in lockdown. The only solution to these problems is the arrival of Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Acha? So what do you want to do? What is your job? To update your social media account? What's your responsibility? To gather following on TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram? You have a responsibility and a duty as well. The chola maybe not in our lifetime, but it could be in our children's lifetime. It could be in our children's lifetime. So your responsibility is what? As parents, that you instill the deen, the religion of Islam into your children. This is your responsibility. Your responsibility is that yes, no doubt the arrival of Imam Mahdi al-Islam is a reality which is established. But your local imam waits for you 5 times a day, which is a reality that you will deny. So we have individual and personal responsibilities and duties that we must fulfill as well. And it goes back to the verse that I was alluding to earlier, though I didn't mention it in Surah Ra'ad. Allah Almighty says, "What? Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim." That Allah Almighty Jalla wa Ala will not change the state of a nation until those people begin to change themselves. And change doesn't come by sitting at home and sending out WhatsApp messages and putting up WhatsApp statuses and you're going to revolutionize the world. Be productive and understand your duties and responsibilities. So after visiting the resting place of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Mahdi al-Islam will prepare a great army to fight against the Christians and the Jews. This is what is referred to as the battle of the end of times. We'll come back to this last part of the paragraph here. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi himself said what? The Mahdi will be of my stock, middle of page 5, and will have a broad forehead and a prominent nose. He will fill the earth with equity and justice as it was filled with oppression and tyranny. And he will rule for 7 years. The mukhtalif riwayat, some riwayat mention 9 years. Some go as low as mentioning 5 years. But nevertheless, as Imam Mahdi al-Islam is identified and the people are pledging their allegiance to him one by one, then we have the second major sign. The appearance of Dajjal. Dajjal, the arch deceiver, the Antichrist. Nabi Islam said that there would be no creation creating more trouble than Dajjal right from the creation of Adam alayhi salam till the last hour. The biggest fitna Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam referred to him as the greatest trial and tribulation of this ummah. And that is the Antichrist. He'll be a Jewish man with one eye, and his forehead will be stamped with the words, or with the word consisting of the letters Kaf, Alif, Fa, and Ra. Kafir. Only sincere Muslims will read this and will stay away from him. Key word here, sincere. Again, not Muslims by name. What, you think you're born into a Muslim family and you read the kalima and you go up and down like Woody Woodpecker 5 times a day, that makes you a Muslim? Allahu Akbar. Sincere Muslims. And then he will travel the earth in 40 days, causing havoc and chaos. The first day will be equal to a year. The second day will be equal to a month. The third day will be equal to a week. Remaining with our 37 days, which will be as normal. And he will enter every town and city, causing havoc and chaos. But he will be prohibited from entering into Makkatul Mukarrama and Al-Madinatul Munawwara. Angels will have been appointed by Allah Almighty to defend the two cities. The cursed Dajjal will claim to be God. And with his magic and the help of the Shayateen and Jinnat, he will try to deceive the people. We're seeing this deception already taking place. What we're talking about is Dajjal in a human form. There is that narration in Sahih Muslim Kitab al-Fitan, which mentions that Sahabi Rasul, though at that time he had not become a companion, he was a Christian, Tamim Dari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He actually saw Dajjal chained and shackled on a remote and isolated desert and island, came back and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is that understanding amongst the ulama. Now, based upon this narration that I'm alluding to, that Dajjal is already alive amongst us, waiting for the command and order from Allah Almighty Jalla wa Ala, and those chains and shackles will be broken, and he will cause havoc and chaos on the earth, as we've just mentioned. This is Dajjal in the form of a human, but then we have Dajjalic system as well, which we're all a victim of, that we've all been sucked into. Entertainment and music and sport and all this culture that has been created around us. And we as Muslims, as I've already alluded to twice, let's make it a hat trick. Since the 7th of October, everybody was chanting the slogans, free, free Palestine, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. 23rd of December now, 2.5 months later, 20,000 plus Palestinians who have innocently lost their lives. But where are our protests and our slogans now? Because we as humans are more interested in relation to the football and the cricket and the UFC and the boxing. And you see how they keep us entertained. You see how they keep us preoccupied whilst they are raping our sisters in Syria and Yemen. And you might say, Imam Sahib, there you go again. Conspiracy theorist, huh? That's exactly what it is. When the Ottomans ruled 2/3 of the Muslim world, you wouldn't find any of the issues that the Muslims are facing today. When Muslims ruled over Spain for 800 years, when in the rank of the Muslims were the likes of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi and Nuruddin Zangi and Tariq ibn Ziyad and Shihabuddin Ghori. What you see now was unheard of. Gone are the likes of Muhammad bin Qasim and Khalid bin Walid and Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Today, if somebody speaks out and even uses the word jihad, he's branded an extremist or a terrorist. You see how they have created this narrative in our minds? Even though there's over 500 verses in the Quran in relation to jihad. But if anyone takes the word jihad, which has many connotations, no doubt, but you know exactly the one that I'm referring to and alluding to. But because we've been watered down and given a certain script, if somebody speaks in a certain way now, which goes against the norm and the consensus, then like I said, that person is ostracized and deemed as a terrorist or an extremist. Acha. And how far have you got with your peaceful negotiations with the Zionist government of Israel? Peacefully, let's try to, with diplomacy and democracy, try to resolve this situation. The Jaun affair. What are you waiting for? And this is what happens when you take out the sixth pillar of Islam from the deen. And you say, no. And we're always apologetic, right? We're always, we're sorry that this has happened and sorry that has happened. They haven't apologized for raping our sisters in Syria and Yemen. For degrading the Muslims in Iraq when they stripped them of their clothing and had them hung upside down. And even recent pictures now in Palestine as well. But again, like I mentioned earlier, we become tired and fatigued, right? We just want to get on with our normal lives and pay our bills and pay the mortgage off and worry about our children's future and education. Don't them children of Palestine have a right to an education? Or is it just me and my thinking? You might say, yeah, talking a good talk. Maulvi's on it, like a car bonnet. Alhamdulillah, we can say we've been consistent. Unlike some ulama who will not even take the name of the Palestinians, who will not even speak out against the atrocities and the genocide and the brutality that's happening. So one is Dajjal, the actual person. And then we have the Dajjalic system, which is what we've just spent the last couple of minutes alluding to. And then he will trick his, he will trick the people with his imagery of the garden and the fire. He will project the garden as heaven and the fire as hell. But in reality, the opposite will be true. Those who believe in Dajjal will experience unprecedented prosperity. Again, that it is a mirror between the system and the actual person. If today non-Muslims are prospering in terms of wealth and status and power, that is something which clearly is what we're referring to. And those who reject him will be extremely poor. After failing to enter the two holy cities, Dajjal will head towards Syria. How do we protect ourselves against Dajjal? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Suratul Kahf, the chapter of the cave, chapter number 18 in the Quran, will be protected from the turmoil of Dajjal. I told you, the solution to our issues and problems, these challenges, trials and tribulations, is that we go back to Quran and Sunnah. But how many of us have made the effort to actually learn these 10 verses? Top of page 6, we're making progress. So then this battle will take place. On the morning of the battle, when Imam Mahdi al-Islam will be busy in Damascus preparing for the battle against Dajjal, the Iqamah would have been called for the Salatul Fajr. And at that point, just before the Takbir is about to be said, on the eastern minaret of the central masjid in Damascus, Sayyiduna Isa alayhi salam, he will have his hands on the wings of two angels and he will descend from the second heaven onto the earth. Imam Mahdi al-Islam will be on the Musalla, Musalla-i-Imamat. Everybody will witness this splendid deed and this splendid scene. And Isa al-Islam will go through the rows of people and take his place behind Imam Mahdi al-Islam. Imam Mahdi al-Islam will come back in order to vacate the Musalla so Sayyidina Isa al-Islam can stand and lead the people in the prayer. But Isa al-Islam will do ishara to Imam Mahdi al-Islam. And Imam Mahdi al-Islam will be told to lead the Salah. What a great honor this will be for the entire Muslim Ummah that a Prophet of Allah will pray behind a Muslim Imam. But understand and know our position is clear that he will not appear as a Prophet per se, but rather as a follower, a tabi' of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Isa al-Islam will rule and govern by the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So both the Prophet Isa al-Islam and Imam Mahdi al-Islam will together organize and head this army and will go into battle against Dajjal. Dajjal will have an army of 70,000 Jews, yani disbelievers, kuffar, a fierce battle. The battle of the end of times will take place. Dajjal will be defeated and he will flee with his army. Naya al-Baytul Muqaddas, Baytul Maqdis, yani Jerusalem, Al-Quds Sharif. You see how important Palestine is to you and me? How important Jerusalem is to the believers? How important Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is to the Muslims? Today you hear some religious speakers even saying, oh, this is a political issue. And the Muslims are just getting emotional over nothing. It would be easy for us to just give some part of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa to the Jews. And this is what they say. Who said it? Don't worry. I can't name and shame. But I think I've just realized before Isha that there's a camera there. Koi pata nahi recording hoi rahi hai jani. It's not working. Oh, that's a shame. And I was being on my best behavior. Chalo, the gloves are off now. So this is not a political issue. Our sentiments towards Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and Jerusalem is not politically motivated. Rather, this is a matter of faith. This is a matter of Iman. You see how important Al-Baytul Muqaddas is to the Muslims. Near Al-Baytul Muqaddas, at a place called Lud. What is the place called? Prophet Isa al-Islam will kill Dajjal. What is the place called? So those of you who have been, and mashallah, some of you have been recently with me, back in August, Junaid and his family, Irfan and his family, Hafiz Hashim went with me, should I say, once upon a time as well. Good memories. Back in 2018, if I'm not mistaken. 19, I can't remember now. So, Lod is near Tel Aviv airport, right? So, the Jews will not be able to hide. And wherever they seek refuge, the rocks and the stones will call out and say that, oh, believers, the Jews are hiding behind me. Come and kill them. After the murder of Dajjal, Prophet Isa al-Islam will carry out reforms. He will destroy the cross. And he will slaughter the pig. And you can see that narration there, middle of page 6. That by the one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? By the one in whose omnipotent hands lies my life, soon the son of Maryam will descend amongst you as a just ruler. He will break the cross, kill the swine, suspend the jizya, and there would be such an abundance of wealth that there will be none to take it, and to prostrate once to Allah Almighty would be better than the world and all of the wealth and its luxuries in the world. The Prophet Isa al-Islam's time will be sanctified such that there will be blessings and barakat everywhere. The land will be filled with peace and harmony and justice. Some would say that if a sheep was to sit next to a wolf, then the wolf would not look towards the sheep with bad intentions. And children will play with snakes, but the snakes will not bite them. Imam Mahdi al-Islam will rule for approximately 9 years. Like I said, mukhtalif riwayat. Then Imam Mahdi al-Islam will pass away. And then Isa al-Islam will lead his Salatul Janaza. We have these words from Al-Quran al-Kareem, from Surah number 43, verse number 61, which translate as, and he shall be a known sign for the coming of the hour. In light of this verse, Sayyiduna Abu Huraira, radiyallahu ta'ala, who said what? Bottom of page 6, that when the Prophet Isa al-Islam appears, he will stay on the earth for 40 years, which will be like 4 years. And he will perform the Hajj and the Umrah. Further to this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the night on which I was taken for the night journey, I met Musa alayhi salam, I met Isa alayhi salam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam met all of the prophets on the night of Al-Isra'u wal-Mi'raj. Again, significance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described Sayyidina Isa al-Islam that he is of average height and reddish, as if he had just come out of the bath in fresh. top of page 7, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. We have the verses from Surah Al-Kahf here, verses 92 to 97. So again, this goes back to the opening points that we mentioned at the beginning, that this knowledge of the signs of the hour is either based upon definitive knowledge, which has come to us through Al-Quran Al-Kareem, or based upon knowledge that has come through us or to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are two tribes, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, human beings, if you didn't know, that will appear in the Far East. It was the righteous, just king, Dhulqarnain, as mentioned here in light of these verses, and that essentially dealt with the mischief of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Gog and Magog. And he erected a huge barrier. Some scholars say, and there is a discussion on this, some say that it's the Great Wall of China. It's an opinion. Allah knows best, and His Rasul know best. So after the passing away of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, Allah Almighty will inform the Prophet Isa alayhi salam that He is about to send a creation against who there is none to contest. So when Dhulqarnain put the two tribes from the in the Far East behind this barrier, it's mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ, every day the Ya'juj and Ma'juj are chipping away. And at the end of the day, trying to break through the barrier, they put their tools down. But when they come the next day, it was like it was at the beginning of the previous day. They wouldn't have made much progress. However, one day they will break through that barrier. And when they will break through that barrier, they will cause massacre and destruction across the entire world. Isa al-Islam and the sincere Muslims will make their way towards the mountain of Tur, Wattini, Wazzaytun, Waturi Sinin, Wahaz al-Balad al-Amin. And then Ya'juj and Ma'juj, after killing everyone on the earth, they will say what? That we have killed the people on the earth. Let us now kill Allah Almighty Himself. So what will happen? They will throw their arrows towards the skies. And the arrows will return back onto the earth, full of blood. So Ya'juj and Ma'juj will have this confidence to make this claim that we have killed Allah. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. Whilst this is happening, and the Ya'juj and Ma'juj have taken over the earth, Isa alayhi salam and the other Muslims will be in the mountain of Tur, and they will be suffering due to a lack of food and water. So Isa alayhi salam will lead the dua. The believers will say Ameen to the dua that, oh Allah, destroy the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. This is the power of dua. Never despair in the dua that you make. And the duas that we make, there are three possible scenarios and outcomes. To them supplications very quickly. Number one, if you make a dua, it could be the case that Allah Almighty immediately answers your prayer and removes that difficulty and grants you relief. Or number two, it could be that the dua is accepted, but you are given the outcome of that prayer later in life. So never despair. Don't assume, oh, we're making dua. No. It could be that Allah Almighty answers your du'as later in life. And then the third scenario is what? And that you make du'a in the dunya, Allah Almighty will answer them du'as in the akhirah. And for those whose du'as are answered in the akhirah, they will say what? That kash, if only all of our du'as were answered in the akhirah. But we are again humans, right? We want things instantly, jazbat. We want things, that's it, now. But we have to have patience. So Isa al-Islam, after making dua with the believers against the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, what will happen? Allah Almighty will cause insects, worms to appear in the necks of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And those insects, worms, they will eat the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And all of them will die in one single night. The Prophet Isa alayhi salam will bring the Muslims down from the mountain, and everywhere on the earth will be the bodies and the stench of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Allah Almighty will then send a forceful hurricane and powerful birds which will throw all of the bodies of the Ya'juj and Ma'juj into the sea. Then by the grace of Allah Almighty, a unique rain will be sent down from the skies. The whole land will then become green and fertile, and the whole world will once again become a place of peace, justice and happiness. We've included here on page 7 a discussion by Imam Zamakhshari. Imam Zamakhshari was a Mu'tazili, and he was from a deviant sect from early Islam. He wrote a tafsir of the Quran, and he gives us the understanding regarding the nuzul of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, because this question could be posed that if someone was to ask that how can the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam be the last and final prophet when Isa alayhi salam will descend at the end of time. So they give an answer to this. They say what? I will say that the meaning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam being the last is that after him, no one will be made a prophet. However, Prophet Isa alayhi salam is from amongst those who were made prophets before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when he... attend the blessed resting place of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and he will present his salam in the barga of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tawajjuh se suno. He will present his salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when Isa alayhi salam will give salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Prophet will give jawab to Isa alayhi salam. Yeah, Musnad Abi Ya'la Sharif ki riwayat. Yani this is not based upon what we just believe in, and the narration with this reference will come later in the book. So Isa al-Islam will give salam to Nabi Sallallahu Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Islam will give jawab to Isa al-Islam. Then Isa al-Islam will pass away, and the Muslims will give ghusl to him, and they will offer his salatul janaza, and they will bury him next to the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where today, of course, there is a place for him. Number 5, top of page 8. The fifth major sign that we elaborate upon here is the spreading of smoke. So after the passing of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, a Muslim from Yemen by the name of Jujah, from the Qahtan clan, he will become the Khalifa. His rule will be fair and just. And after him then, kings will rule and ignorance will once again begin to spread. It is at this point that the sky will be filled with a special kind of smoke. And this smoke will spread across the earth, and it will lead to darkness everywhere. And how long will this smoke remain on the earth? 40 days. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? The badiru bil a'mal, hasten towards good deeds before 6 things happen. Number 1, the rising of the sun from the west, yani the place of its setting. Number 2, the smoke. Number 3, the beast of the earth. Number 4, Dajjal. Number 5, that which will happen to each of you, yani death. And number 6, that which will happen to all of the people the day of judgment. So don't delay. Do good deeds straight away. What do we do? We leave it until Laylatul Qadr night. Or Nisfu Sha'ban. Or Rabi'ul Awwal Sharif. We become seasonal Muslims. Illa mashallah. But don't be seasonal Muslims. I've already mentioned the verse earlier. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffa. That all believers enter into the religion wholeheartedly. It's not a part-time occupation. It's not a case that in private you're something else and in public you're someone else. Don't waste the time that you have. There are so many in the Qabristan who are resting and who are buried 6 feet under. Who would give anything and everything for another opportunity to come back onto the earth and do as many good deeds as possible. Why? Because they've seen the reality. They've seen the signs manifest. But for them it is too. But for you and me it's not too late. Make the most of the time that you have. But sadly and unfortunately our mindset and mentality today is what? That you and me are busy chasing rizq that we forget the raziq. It's all about the peas, right? Hafiz Hashim. It's all about the peas. And we've shared that narration with you. We're living in a day and age, end of times, where the Prophet ﷺ himself said what? That there will come a time when a man does not care how he earns his wealth. It's all about them houses that we have in Pakistan, where we write on the top, Hadha min fadli Rabbi. And if you were to do post-mortem, where the money came from, like we've already mentioned the example of that brother who rang me on the way down and said, my father-in-law has invested £150,000 on his house and koti in Pakistan. He's going to live in it, what, couple of years, 10 years, 2 decades maybe, and then his children will never see that property. Why? Because they're more interested in what's happening here. Our priorities are wrong. Our priorities are wrong. Change your priorities before it's too late. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, wise is that person who remembers his death. And it's better that you take account of yourself before you are accounted for on the day of judgment. Ye qaul hai Sayyidina Umar Farooq hai na, hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take account of yourself before you will be accounted for. What have we done to prepare for our death? What have we done to prepare for the day of judgment? And if we're being honest with ourselves, and if we're taking account of ourselves today, 23rd of December 2023, reality is what? That we probably haven't prepared much. But change this narrative before it's too late. The sixth major sign, the rising of the sun from the west. So after this, the night after the 10th of Dhul Hijjah will be unusually long. The children will begin to cry, and because of the hunger that the people and the animals will be experiencing, there will be trouble everywhere, and everyone will begin to repent. During this disaster, the sun will rise from the west instead of the east. And it will only have a dim light. With the rising of the sun from the west, the door of repentance will be shut, and the door of repentance will no longer, yani repentance, tawbah will no longer be accepted. The sun will continue to rise until mid-morning, and then it will start to return towards the west, and it will set the day after. The sun will rise as normal from the east. The last of the major signs that we have mentioned here to conclude this section on the major signs is the appearance of an animal, Dabatul Arb. Is mentioning is in the Quran as well, here in Surah An-Naml, verse number 82. So the day after the sun's rising from the west, a strange but blessed animal will come out from the Mount of Safa. So it doesn't matter how much of a case they put on top of it. That animal is going to come out. This animal, as we mentioned, referred to as Dabatul Arb. In one hand, in the right hand, the animal will have the staff, the asa of Musa alayhi salam. And in the left hand, it will have the ring of the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. The animal will travel the earth at a fast speed. He will use the staff, the stick of Musa alayhi salam, to wipe the forehead of the believers. And the faces of the believers will be enlightened. As for the disbelievers, their faces will be stamped with the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam. and their faces will turn dark. After this, then a fragrant breeze will blow, which will capture the souls of all of the believers until there is no believer left on earth. There will be kufr everywhere. Modesty and decency will disappear. Immorality and idol worship will prevail. It is at this point that the angel Israfil alayhi salam will blow the trumpet on Friday, the 10th of Muharram. And kullu man alayha fan wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram fa bi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Alhamdulillah. After Salatul Isha and the tilawat of Suratul Mulk, which was beautifully done by the young man in front of us, in the last 40 minutes or so, we have gone through the major signs of the last hour. And with this, we conclude the first part of three parts in the book. Say Alhamdulillah. Are you tired? Are you ready to go on to part two? Or do you want to break to stretch your legs? Kya baat hai? Good. This is what we like, huh, Hafiz Hashim? So time is of the essence. Ji. Same thing. That beast of the earth is the animal that we're alluding to. Ji. What? What was the ring? It is a normal ring. Ji. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one that we were talking about, the Prophet Isa al-Islam, who is alive in the second heaven, it is our belief as Muslims that he did not die on the cross, he was raised to the second heaven. He will return onto the earth, but he will not return as a prophet, he will return as a follower of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is that opinion, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, but the most of the scholars say he's not a prophet, he's a wali. He's not a prophet, he is a wali. He is a friend of Allah Almighty. Sayyidina Khadr alayhi salam. Khadr is the actual pronunciation, but we say Khidr, right? We said that ulama have written around 60 to 70 minor signs of the last hour. You'll find this in the works of Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, which is one of the books that we've used to compile this particular book, certainly the first part of it, and other works like this as well. What is with this everyone? Was this rumor going around East London? Idris alayhi salam, Khidr alayhi, all of the prophets are alive. There you go, checkmate. Who? The guy on TikTok? Nee, they're not talking. Yeah, don't go opening a can of worms and polluting the minds of our children. Thank you very much. We've already mentioned the fitna of the Qadian and how we should keep ourselves protected from it. Whoa, that's a bit of a... You see what you just did there? With one, what do you call it? Jumla. That's it. That 1 month time frame. And remember, when all of the minor signs have manifested and transpired, the major signs will follow one another just like a domino's effect. Very quickly. So jizya is a type of tax which is paid. They'll stop it. Jizya is a tax which is paid and they will bring it to an end. They will stop it. Okay. If there aren't any more questions, then we'll move on and press ahead. Part 2 of 3, Day of Judgment. So when Allah Almighty wills, He will bring the angel Israfil into existence and He will blow the trumpet for the second time. 40 years according to the most authentic opinion after the first time. Upon hearing the blowing of the trumpet, the dead will rise from their graves and they will be given their book of deeds. Books of deeds. Not kitab, kutub. And they will be brought onto the plane of resurrection. The first to rise from his blessed grave will be none other than our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. Look at the rank and the status of our beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Narration with reference there, page 9, that I will be the leader of the children of Adam on the day of resurrection. And I will be the first intercessor and the first whose intercession will be accepted by Allah. As Muslims, we believe that Allah Almighty has the power to revive the dead from the grave. Verses here from Surah Al-Qiyamah as well as Surah Yasin Sharif, where Allah Almighty Jalla wa Ala mentions in numerous maqamat in the Quran how no doubt He will give life to the dead, just like He gave life to you and me when we were nothing. He will give life to us when we are nothing. أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. Nothing is beyond the power of Allah Almighty Jalla wa Ala. And as we mentioned, after giving life to the dead, Allah Almighty will gather them on the plains of resurrection. And the plains of resurrection will be Baytul Muqaddas and Ash-Sham. Ash-Sham is what? Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, Levant. That entire area has been no doubt described as Medan-e-Mahshar. The plains of resurrection. And it is obligatory for us as Muslims to believe in the last day, when Allah Almighty Jalla wa Ala will take account of all of the humans and designate each person a place in either Jannat or Jahannam. Allah Almighty says in the opening verse of Surah Al-Anbiya, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, that the time of people's judgment has drawn near, yet they are heedlessly turning away. These gatherings serve as a reminder. Our true abode and our true destination is the gardens of paradise. الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, this dunya, this world, is a prison for the believer and it is paradise for the disbeliever. But for you and me, unfortunately, we've made it into a paradise. Some are caught up in this gangster's paradise. Chasing money and wealth and power and status, when we know that all of these things are temporary. تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah Almighty says in the Quran that you desire and want and you chase the dunya, when in reality your true abode is the akhirah. We are mere guests and travelers on the earth. Allahu Akbar. In light of Quran and Sunnah, we have different names for this particular day. I'm going to resist the urge of going into the discussion of every single name here. Lekin I'll just mention them. Al-Yawmul Akhir. The last day. Why? Because after this day, there will be no concept of time. And people will forever live in either Jannat or Jahannam. Khalidina fiha abada. And the narration there you can read. Another day, a name should I say for this day, Yawmul Qiyamah. Huh? Like Allah Almighty says at the beginning of Suratul Qiyamah, chapter number 75 in the Quran, where he takes an oath, La uqasimu bi yawmil qiyamah, and that I swear by the day of standing, the day of resurrection. Another name for this day, Yawmul Hisab. Like we read in our salah just before the salam, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. This is from Surah Ibrahim, verse number 41. More on that verse towards the end. And then Suratul Hashar gives us an understanding of the fourth possible name for this day, Yawmul Hashar. Meaning what? The day of gathering. Surah number 59, verse number 2. Lengthy verse. But nevertheless, in that verse, Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala mentions how this day is known as the day of gathering. Picking up the speed, it's 801. Description of that day. We're on page 10, one third of the book done, alhamdulillah. So some will make their way to the plane of resurrection walking. Others riding on the animals. And some will be dragged on their faces. This will be based upon how successful you have been in terms of the questioning in the grave, in terms of whether you receive the book in the right hand as opposed to your left hand or behind your backs. And people will be naked and barefooted, but no one will be in a position to realize. Huh? In the narration where Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, will we not see one another? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, everyone will be occupied with their own affairs. Nafsi, nafsi. Bas, worried about themselves. In this state of anxiety and fear, as we can see, the sun will be 1 mile above the heads of the people. The heat will be extreme. The intensity of the heat will make the brains boil. Sweat will profusely flow. So for some, the sweat will be up to their ankles. For others, up to their knees. For some, their sweat will be up to their throats. And the stench of the sweat will be intensely foul. As we mentioned, we'll remind you again, there will be a state of anxiety and fear. There's no rishwat on that day. There's no blackmailing on that day. There's no booking yourself into a 5-star hotel whilst everything's going on. You can't hide behind any pillars. There's no room to lock yourself into. There's no Uber Eat, just eat. Allahu Akbar. And father won't be able to assist son on that day. Nor will mother be able to assist daughter on that day. The people who we look to please in the dunya are the people who we will run away from on the day of Qiyamah. And these are those verses from Surah Abasa. Suratul Abasa. Surah number 80, verses 33 to 37. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. The translation there, and as we've just mentioned, as the Quran says, each and every person will be occupied with their own matters and affairs. And then there are those who will be shaded from the heat of the sun on that day. My dear brothers and sisters, those of you who are still with us, try to become one of these 7 types of people. Bukhari Sharif ki riwayat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the first to be shaded from the heat of the sun on that day will be a just imam. Imamun adilun. So imamat is of 2 types, right? Imamate sugra and imamate kubra. So here this is alluding to imamate kubra, yani the sultan, the amir, the leader of the Muslims. If he is just, if he is righteous, then he will be shaded from the heat of the sun under the throne of Allah Almighty's arsh on that day, when there will be no shade except the shade that Allah Almighty provides. So today we have 57, 58 Muslim countries and their leaders. But all of them, with the exception of Yemen, choose to remain silent regarding this issue and this mas'ala and the massacre and genocide in Palestine, in Gaza. I've just come back from the Haramain. And when you walk through Bin Dawood and you see these shops, whereas here in the UK we have some shops with the Palestinian flags on, some masajid, mashallah, with the Palestinian flag up. But in Saudi Arabia, no shan, no pechan, no identity, nothing. Albatta, in some shops I saw Christmas decorations being sold. Not mashallah, astaghfirullah. I thought maybe you're being sarcastic, huh? But we still have people. 364 days of the year, they'll read their salah, and they'll follow the timings of Masjid-e-Quba. But because the Saudis announce Eid one day early, and it's convenient for their work schedule, you'll go and see them people praying behind the deviant imams, those who follow the rulings of the Saudi Arabia. Number two, وَشَابٌ نَشَعَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. Bottom of page 10, the Prophet ﷺ said what? The second person, type of person that will be shaded on that day is a young Muslim who began to worship Allah Almighty in his youth. My youngsters who are here, value your youth. Riyazat ke yahi din hai, burhape mein kaha himmat. Jo kuch karna hai, abhi kar lo, abhi noori jawan tum ho. This is the most valuable time of your life, your youth. But what do we find? Our youngsters, nationwide issue and problem, standing on street corners, buying and selling drugs. Our youngsters involved in illicit and haram relationships. Our youngsters pushing and buying and selling helium balloons and gas cylinders. Our youngsters who are now developing homosexual tendencies. Last December, this time last year, 10 Muslim girls left Islam in Oldham. Not only did they leave Islam, but they changed their gender as well. You might not be aware of this because you're cocooned in your lives here in London. Caught up in the hustle and bustle of the rat race. But this is happening. And you might say, so what? It's in Oldham. I'm in East London. Doesn't affect me. And there we go again. Where is that pain? Where is that feeling for the ummah? Allahu Akbar. Number three, the Prophet ﷺ said, a man whose heart is attached to the masjid. A man here is generic. It doesn't exclude the women before we have uproar and riots outside the masjid. Oh, he didn't mention women. Oh, he's generic, yaar. Number four, two individuals who love one another only for the sake of Allah Almighty, Jalla wa'ala. And by Allah, I want everyone to bear witness to this. I've known this gentleman here on my left-hand side for the best part of nearly 10 years. We've seen him grow up and flourish. By Allah, I love him for the sake of Allah. I love Hafiz Mu'in for the sake of Allah. I love Irfan for the sake of Allah. I love Junaid for the sake of Allah. I love each and every one of you for the sake of Allah Almighty, Jalla wa'ala. And this is how it should be. No ulterior motive, no lalach, no agenda, no backstabbing, no backbiting. If you don't like someone, it's simple, move away. But if you love someone, like that narration in Jami or Tirmizi Sharif, where a Sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasul, I love such and such a person. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, have you told him that you love him? No, O Messenger of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't delay, tell him straight away. My words. Love one another for the sake of Allah. Number five, a man who remembers Allah Almighty so much so that he begins to cry. Ask yourself, when was the last time we cried out of the fear of Allah Almighty? Out of remembering Allah Almighty? We cry when we lose our 10 pound, or Or we lose a game in FIFA 2024. What else is it? Where's Hassan gone? Hassan gone? Thrown the towel in? When do you lot cry as youngsters? When John Cena loses a wrestling match? Roman Reigns doesn't seem to lose nowadays. Then you have Manchester United fans like myself who are in a constant state of crying at this moment in time. Musa. So when was the last time we cried? Because of our love for Allah Almighty. Joking aside. Number six, a man who is called by a woman who possesses beauty or status, but he refuses and says, "Inni akhafullah." I fear Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. And in this day and age where it's easy to be tempted because of these social media apps and committing zina, even though Quran says what? La taqrabu zina. Do not approach adultery. But we put ourselves in that situation. Oh, she's only a work colleague. She's only my friend who I spend time revising for revising for GCSEs. We convince ourselves, right? But remember, when two unlawful people are together, the third is? Number seven, to conclude the list here. A man who gives a sadaqah secretly to such an extent that his left hand does not know what the right hand has given. And this is not to have a go at Hafiz Iqbal Sa, was it? But this happens generally in our masajid. That we want everyone to know for the £10 that we have given, the £20 that some even want the announcement made for the £5 that they've given. And they'll request every dua under the sun from the Imam Sahib. And if the Imam leaves out one dua, phew, that's it. Maulvi Sahib's fired. Maulvi Sahib sacked. Allahu Akbar. So what do we always give with our right hand, we always take with the right hand, right? So the left hand doesn't know what the right hand has given. So you give charity without declaring it and letting everyone know about it. You know that narration, lengthy narration. Sayyidina Abu Huraira is the Ravi, Sahih Muslim Sharif ki riwayat. From amongst the first people to be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Before you think he's going off topic, it's related to what we're discussing. From amongst the first people to be judged on the Day of Judgment, whose hisab will be done, is that ghani and sakhi person who used to give wealth in the way of Allah Almighty in the dunya. Allah Almighty will ask him that, "What did you do for my sake? Oh Allah, I built masajid for your sake. Oh Allah, I dug wells in third world countries for your sake. Oh Allah, I did this, I did that." Allah Almighty will say, "What? Kazzabta, you have lied. You didn't do it for my sake. You did it so people will call you Sakhi and Ghani, and people will call you Chaudhary Sahib has given such and such, and Raja Sahib has given such and such, Haji Sahib has given such. You did it for the sake of the people. Go, take your reward from them." And that person, that sakhi person, and in the same narration, shaheed will be questioned on that day. Alim-e-deen will be questioned on that day. Qari of the Quran will be questioned on that day. "What did you do for my sake? Oh Allah, I taught the people for your sake. Oh Allah, I recited the Quran for your sake. Oh Allah, I gave my life on the battlefield for your sake." Allah Almighty says, "You have lied, you have lied, you have lied. You did it so people will call you a martyr. You did it so people will call you a ghazi. You did it so people will call you an alim. You did it so people will kiss your hands. You didn't do it for my sake." And the very same narration, then Allah Almighty will instruct the angels to drag the alim of the deen, the qari of the Quran, the sakhi person who built the masajid, the shaheed who gave his life on the battlefield. Those individuals, they will be told by the Allah Almighty will command the angels to drag their faces on the floor, on the earth, and to throw them into the fires of Jahannam. Sahih Muslim Sharif. And when Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala would narrate this hadith Sharif, it's mentioned that he would fall unconscious. He would fall unconscious. Worried and concerned that maybe he might be from amongst them people. This is Sahabiya Rasul, who is no doubt a Jannati, where you and me today. We think we're the gatekeepers of Jannah. Flana Flana is Jannati, Flana Flana Jahannami. Who's given you the right? But we find this today. No one has that right. Allah Almighty is Ahkamul Hakimin. Wake up before it's too late. How long will that day be? 50,000 years long. Khamsina Alfa Sanatin. Surah number 70, verse number 4. But here, as you can see in the narration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that day, which will be 50,000 years long for the believer, it will be the length that it would have taken him to have read the compulsory Zuhr prayer in the dunya. It'll go quickly. So for the disbelievers, for the hypocrites, 50,000 years will feel like 50,000 years. But for the believer, their time will go quickly. And then, whilst all of this is happening, at the beginning of that day, we find the grand intercession on the day of resurrection. On the resurrection ground, our master Sayyidina Anas bin Malik, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, relates that on the day of judgment, people will be restless and anxious, just as the waves of the ocean on a windy day. All of kainat and mankind will go to the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Lengthy narration. No doubt you've heard this many times before. Ikhtisar ke saath pesh karne ya. Oh Adam, ask Allah Almighty to begin the accounting. Has accounting started yet? Has hisab begun yet? No. Everyone's waiting to see what will happen. So then, even those who do inkar of tawassul, even they will be majboor on that day to go to Adam alayhi salam. Oh Adam, ask Allah Almighty to begin the hisab. Adam alayhi salam will mention reasons why he can't. Lastu laha, I am not for this. Go izhabu ila ghairi, go to the next prophet. Like this, then the people will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Oh Ibrahim, you are Khalilullah. You are the intimate friend of Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Ask Allah Almighty to begin the hisab. Ibrahim alayhi salam will say, lastu laha, I am not for this. Izhabu ila ghairi, go to the next one. Yani then people will go to Musa. This is the brief version of that narration. And the people will go to Musa. All of mankind and their nations, the prophets and their nations will go to Musa al-Islam. That, oh Musa, you are Kalimullah. You are the one who conversed with Allah Almighty. You ask Allah Almighty to begin the hisab. What will Musa al-Islam say? Jalali Nabi, in the dunya, Musa al-Islam would not hesitate to ask Allah Almighty anything and everything. But on that day, even Musa al-Islam will say, lastu laha, I am not for this. Idhabu ila ghairi, go to Isa alayhi salam. Then everyone will go to the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Kalimatullah, Ruhullah. That, oh Isa, you are the one who was born without a father. You are Kalimatullah. You are Ruhullah. You are the son of Maryam. Ask Allah Almighty to begin the hisab. Isa al-Islam will say, lastu laha, I am not for this. Go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when all of mankind, all of the nations and their prophets will present themselves in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habiballah, Amina Kalal, ask Allah Almighty to begin the hisab. What will the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Ana laha, I am for this, I am for this. Top of page 12. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for you and me, will go into sajda. Are we listening? Who will go into sajda for you and me? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On that day when father will abandon son, mother will abandon daughter. On that day when prophets initially will not be in a position to help you and me, on that day only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will do shafa'at for you and me. Aaj le unki pana, aaj madad mang unse, phir na maanenge, qiyamat mein agar maan gaya. Now is the time to build your connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no doubt, benefits you and helps me and you in the dunya. No doubt he will benefit you and me and help you and me in the grave. And no doubt he will benefit you and me and help you and me on the day of Qiyamah. And this is that very same beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who spent his nights making dua for you and me. Ummati, ummati, rabbi habli, ummati, Allahumma ummati. Even now, today, alive under the Gumbad-e-Khazra Sharif, Nabi Salatu Islam is remembering you and me. Harisun alaikum bil mu'mineena raufur rahim. But my dear brothers and sisters, how often do we remember him? We think that it's a burden when our Imam Sahib asks us to read Durood Sharif. We think that this is a burden. Or we think that we've read Durood Sharif and sent salutations upon him 100 times in a day or in a week, that we've done right by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, you've not even scratched the surface. What is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hasn't given you and me? I said this right at the beginning. I'm saying it now in the middle or towards the end. That our gateway to Allah Almighty is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The key to our success is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no way of reaching the court of Allah Almighty without going through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you mention these type of statements, certainly the objectors and the adversaries and the opponents of the Ahli Sunnah, how can you say this? Only Allah Almighty can. Then what's this then? Ye Sahih Muslim Sharif hai na? Ye Jami' Tirmizi Sharif hai na? Ye Kutub Sitta hai na? Allahu Akbar. So Nabi Salatu Wasalam will go into sajda for you and me. Allah Almighty will say, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'saka. That, O Muhammad, raise your head. Say and you will be heard. On that day when everyone will be silent, only the Prophet ﷺ will have permission to speak. Ask and you will be granted. Intercede and your intercession will be accepted. And even on that day, what does he say? O my Lord, my community, my community, my ummah, my ummah. But look at the state of the ummah today. I've already alluded to the issues and problems on our streets, in our community, nationally, internationally. But you and me are comfortable in our lives, right? Kya jawab desa? On the day of Qiyamah, what answer will we give? If the Prophet ﷺ asks you and me that you lived in that time, in that era, where people were openly insulting me, making cartoons and caricatures, depicting me in a vile way. They were making films depicting my companions and family members in a disgusting way. You lived in that time and that era where people were openly challenging the finality of my prophethood. What answer are we going to give? That we were busy at work? We were busy paying our children's education fees. We were busy paying our bills. What answer are we going to give? A question for me, a question for you. But at least for those individuals who have spent their time on this earth defending the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will hold their heads high on that day. Ya Rasulullah, I raised my voice for your deen. I raise my voice for your religion. I raise my voice to defend your honor. I raise my voice to defend Aqidah Khatm-e-Nubuwwat. Because it's not just my responsibility or those on this side of the table or those who sit on the minbar. Every single one of you has a responsibility to defend the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me put it in another way. If somebody came and swore at your father, somebody came and insulted your mother, how would you feel? What would be your reaction? In very simple terms, 10 mans would land. Aglani latapan yoro. How dare you swear at my father? How dare you insult my mother? Are a billion mothers and a billion fathers be qurban upon that zameen, upon that land where the Prophet ﷺ once relieved himself. Where he relieved himself once. Our mothers and fathers be qurban upon that zameen, upon that land. But today nobody is willing to speak up. Oh, ye maulviya ne kaha manji. Acha. Then on the day of Qiyamah, don't worry. Dood ka dood. Pani ka pani. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And this is what we're talking about. Zarra, zarra. This is zarra, zarra. This is our test. You choose to remain silent whilst the Palestinians are suffering. This is our test. You choose to remain silent when the honor of the Prophet is brought into question. This is our test. You choose to remain silent when the finality of the Prophet, his prophethood is questioned and it is attacked. This is our test. The likelihood of seeing and meeting and greeting Dajjal quite remote in our lifetime. Allah knows best. But this is our test. How many of us can say, hand on heart, that we're ready to pass the test? What else is there? Apart from the honor of the Prophet, what else is there? What is more important? And then you can see here how then the hisab will be done. Allahu Akbar. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul. Every soul shall taste death. And in this verse from Surah Ali Imran, verse number 185, Allah Almighty then says what? Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawmal qiyamati. That each and every one of you will be given your full compensation on the day of resurrection. You will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. And then there are those who will be drawn away from the fire and admitted into paradise. They have attained their desire and have attained success. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And then, of course, Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala says in Surah Al-Anbiya as well, verse number 47, bottom of page 12 here, how Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala says what? And we will set up a just balance on that day, on the day of resurrection, and no soul shall be dealt with unjustly in the least. We might get away with it in the dunya, but there is no escaping on that day. And though there will be a weight grain of mustard seed, yet we will bring it forth. And sufficient are we to take account. Top of page 13. Nabi Salatu Wasalam said, the feet of the son of Adam alayhi salam will not move on that day before his Lord until he is asked about five things. How many things? We know about the three questions of the grave, right? That's going to come in a short while. But here, five things that we'll be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. For some of you may be hearing this for the first time. Therefore, it would be sensible to prepare for that exam. When we do an exam in the dunya, SATS exam, GCSE exam, A-level exam, university exam, a theory test for our driving license. The examiner doesn't come the night before, knock on the door and say, here you go. Here are the exam questions and the paper that you will sit in the morning. Has that ever happened? But Qurban jao upon Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Baqaida told us over 1400 years ago what you and me will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, number one, you will be questioned about your life and what you did with it. What answer are we going to give? That we spent our life playing Fortnite and Call of Duty and Gran Turismo and FIFA 2024? That's for those of you at the front. Or for those of you in the middle and at the back. What are we going to give as an answer? I'm getting you to think. What answer are we going to give to this question? What did you do with your life? That I was busy just 9 to 5, running around, making ends meet, providing for my family, doing X, Y, and Z, whatever it may be. Or that we spent our lives idolizing pop stars and movie stars and celebrities and following political leaders who didn't even know our names. What answer are we going to give? Then more specifically, number two, you'll be asked about your youth, your shabab, your jawani, and what you did with your youth. Again, it's the most important period and time in our lives when many of us are wasting our youth, wasting our time. Number three, You will be asked about your wealth and how you earned it. Today you can do someone over just to make a quick couple of a sale or make a profit. But you'll have to answer for this on the day of Qiyamah. How did you earn your wealth? Then number four, how did you spend your wealth? What are we going to say? We spent £30,000 on our daughter's wedding, on our son's wedding. We spent £100,000 on a house in India, in Pakistan. We had three cars parked up in the driveway when we only needed one. We spent our money on an extension to the house. We spent our money on X, Y. Kya jawab de sa yaar? And then number five, you'll be questioned about what you did with the knowledge that you had. This gathering, which started after Maghrib, and it's still not yet officially 4 hours, minimum four. We had a 1 hour break nearly for Salatul Isha. So just in case somebody keeps looking at the clock, messaging their wife, the Maulvi is not giving up now. I had to travel 4 hours to be with you. I only had a small bowl of porridge in the morning, that's it. And I'm still sat here, we're going to go again tomorrow, 4 hours in Chesham, with the traveling. Tonight I'm staying in Oxford. And then again on Monday. So if we go over by 5-10 minutes, don't worry. Yes? Don't stress. Those who've left, have left. Don't worry about them. Apni apni kismat. The time that they're sat here, Allah Almighty accepted. The time that you're still here, Allah Almighty accepted. Aho ameen. Unah ne bas mauli pasai or ya. And then the rest of these narrations, I'll just pick up the speed. The rest of these narrations here that you find on page 13. Let's look at the last narration here on page 13. You could read some of this in your own time, right? I can't go through everything. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said what? Atadruna mal muflisu. O my Sahaba, tell me who is bankrupt. Who is the muflis, the bankrupt person? Sahaba responded like you and me would have responded. A bankrupt person is that person who has no dirham, has no dinar, has no wealth, has no properties. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. The bankrupt poor person of my ummah will be that individual who will come on the day of resurrection. In his namai a'mal, in his book of deeds and records, will be prayers and fasts and zakat. However, that very same person who used to pray 5 times a day, he was guilty of hurling abuse at others. That very same person who would fast in the month of Ramadan, he would unlawfully consume the wealth and take the properties of others. That person who used to give zakat and charity to the poor, he was guilty of shedding the blood of others and beating others up. Reference is there, Sahih Muslim Sharif. Then hisab will be done. That's what we're talking about. What will happen? Let's explain it like this. Person A is the oppressor, the zalim, the one whose account is being taken. And a full line of people are waiting. Full line of people are waiting to take badla, to take recompense. So person B will come. Oh Allah, he swore at me on such and such an occasion, for example. Allah Almighty will say, okay, these are his good deeds into your book of deed and record. So he started the day in the positives, in the pluses. But then hisab is done. All of his good deeds are distributed until eventually he comes to zero. There's still a line of people waiting. They still want recompense and badala. They want hisab to be done in their favor. Oh Allah, he did such and such against me. Allah Almighty will now say what? Because he's got no more good deeds to give. So Allah Almighty will say, take the bad deeds of the one who has been oppressed, put it into the account of the oppressor. He started the day with pluses and positives. But by the time hisab is done, he's ended the day in negatives, in minuses. And ثُمَّ تُرِهَ فِي النَّارِ. Then he will be dragged upon his face and thrown into the fires of Jahannam. So those people who today pride themselves on their salah, on their siyam, on their zakat, on their umrahs, and their hajj, but you'll find that they're the same people who are the cause of fitna and fasad in their families. They're the ones who have broken family ties. They're the ones who have taken the properties and the land that belong to their siblings. You know what I'm alluding to and referring to here? This narration is for them. This narration is for you and me. Don't just pride yourselves on your prayers. The rest of it is what? Hukukul ibad. Upon which we have no tiyanu tawajjuh today. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La yadkhulul jannata qati'un." That person will not enter the gardens of paradise who breaks family ties. And if we're honest with ourselves, many of us, if not our parents, certainly are guilty of this today. Over small things, we have broken family ties. Those sisters who came from the same womb of that mother, those brothers who came from the same womb of their mother, today they're not talking to one another. Why? Because of a piece of land in Pakistan? Because of their pride? Because of their self-righteousness? Allahu Akbar. And then we have the mizan. Once the hisab has been done, what's left over will be placed on the scale. And no doubt the weighing of the deeds will be true. And those whose scales are heavy, they will be successful. Ulaika humul muflihun. And those whose scales will be light, ulaika humul khasirun. And who will govern the scales? Jibreel alayhisalam and Mikael alayhisalam. And those who baqaida find their good deeds to be more, the scale will go in their favor. And they'll be successful, as we mentioned. They'll be saved from the punishment. As for those whose scale will be light, they will be punished by Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Question, what will be the heaviest thing upon the mizan? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself said what? Ma min shay'in athqalu. Ma min shay'in fil mizani athqalu min husnil khuluq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the heaviest thing upon the scale will be a person's good character. Good character. That when you meet someone, you smile and you meet them. Not like some people today, Ek dusre naal milne frowning. Like you're doing a favor upon us by meeting us. When you meet someone, you meet them with a smile. When you meet someone, you should be the last to let go of their hand. The last to move away from them if you are embracing one another. These are traits of good character. That you're merciful and kind and compassionate towards one another. But do we find these traits today? If we're honest with ourselves, probably not. And then after Al-Mizan, you have As-Sirat, the bridge, which is thinner than an eyelash, sharper than a sword, and this bridge which will be situated upon the fires of Jahannam. And those who cross it successfully will enter into Jannah, but those who don't cross it successfully and slip and fall, they will fall into the fires of Jahannam. Rabbi Sallim, Rabbi Sallim. The sign of the believer upon the bridge is that they will say, "Oh, our Lord, protect us, protect us." Then there is two opinions that Alama Qurtubi mentions. There are two opinions regarding Al-Hawdul Kawthar. Either before the bridge or after the bridge. And what is this fountain? Inna a'tayna kal kawthar. Its size is the length and width that it would take a person to make a month's journey. The drinking vessels will be more than the number of stars in the sky. The drink will be whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, more fragrant than musk. And the Prophet said that person who drinks from Al-Hawdul Kawthar will never be thirsty again. Lekin there are those who will be turned away from the fountain. Who? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said those who were guilty of introducing new things. Yani bidai sayya, bidai balala. Innovated bad things into the religion. They will not be allowed to drink. And then there is an entire section here on pages 15 and 16 to conclude part 2, believe it or not. And that is the section on Shafa'a by way of generality. So you can read here through the narrations. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, my intercession will be for those who committed major sins in my ummah. MashaAllah. He's handing out the bottles to the people who have just sat there listening whilst the one who's been speaking for the last 4 hours. Oh, MashaAllah. VIP treatment. Durood Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Shafiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find this narration, Jazakallahu khairan. Top of page 16, to conclude part 2 here. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Habiballah, will you intercede for me on the day of resurrection? Sahabi is saying this. Wo kaha the, aur hum kaha hai. Ana fa'ilun, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I will intercede for you. Then Sayyidina Anas bin Malik says, what? That Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where will I find you on that day? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll find me first and foremost at the bridge of Sirat, where I will be helping my ummatis cross that bridge. Ya Rasulullah, what if I don't meet you at the bridge? Then where will I meet you? Where will I see you? Where will I find you? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll find me at the scale, al-mizan, where the deeds will be weighed. Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said what? What if I don't find you near the mizan, near the scale? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll find me at Al-Hawdul Kawthar near the fountain, and I will be present at one of these three places. Subhanallah. And all of this is happening simultaneously. It's not a case of time by time. No, one by one. All of this is happening simultaneously. Sumar at the mizan, sumar crossing the bridge, sumar at Hawdul Kawthar. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is at one of these three places. یہ عقیدہ حاضر و ناظر ہے نا اللہ اکبر الحمدللہ with this we have concluded part 2 tired mashallah so you're not like Hassan then huh? You guys are soldiers bismillah الرحمن Alhamdulillah. Ji, Bismillah. Any questions on this second part, feel free to ask. No doubt Allah Almighty is the best of rulers. He is Ahkamul Hakimeen. But no doubt there will be great weight and value in reciting the kalima. Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. So the weight of the kalima itself will be extremely heavy. So keep reading the kalima. Keep reading the kalima so that you will die upon the kalima. And if you die upon the kalima, then no doubt you have nothing to worry about. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been sent as a universal messenger and prophet. Wa ursiltu ila al-khalqi kaffa. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. So in this technological world that we live in, it's virtually impossible to imagine even that Islam hasn't even reached the remotest areas of the earth. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's messengership, his prophethood, is for all of the people up until the day of judgment. Universal prophet with a universal religion, with a universal book, with a universal message. So that's a position that we hold. We have a responsibility as ummatis to propagate the religion of Islam, play our part as well. Regarding children, if they left this dunya before yani bulugh, then there is a section here in discussion in passing that you'll find on page 19. Albatta, that's more to do with the soul of the martyrs, but the position regarding the children is the same. Middle of page 19. So ultimately we leave the matter and affair to Allah Almighty Jalla Wa'ala. But it is hoped that they will receive salvation. They had messengers and prophets that were sent to them. Adam al-Islam all the way to Sayyidina Isa al-Islam. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Wow, samosa. Now all cold and falling apart. Let's finish off, guys. 9 o'clock, that's it, I promise. Wherever I get to 9 o'clock, and I've done my minimum 4 hours as well, then there's no gila or complaining. Life after wal ba'thi ba'dal, the seventh article of faith in light of Imani Mufassal, is belief in life after death. It is our belief as Muslims that each and every soul will experience death. The verse we've already shared with you, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Death is the start of the life after death, and it signals the start of the akhirah. So for us as Muslims, the system of life, belief in the akhirah after Tawheed and Risalah, is the most important belief that we have. Without belief in this doctrine, a person cannot be a Muslim, and his rejection nullifies all Islamic concepts and good deeds. Even the angel of death will take his own soul with the order of Allah Almighty Jalla Wa'ala. And then he will know, or then there will be no one left on the face of the earth. So it is incumbent that we believe that whoever dies do so with the reason of predestination. We've already alluded to this verse from Surah Yunus, is it? Verse 49, where every person has an appointed time, then they will not remain behind an hour, nor will they precede it. So even if a person dies from a disease or another reason, he does so as at an appointed time. He cannot precede it, he cannot delay it. So when Allah Almighty created Adam al-Islam and his offspring, Dhurriya, the angel said to the angel said that the earth will not be sufficient for them. It will not be able to hold all of the humans. So Allah Almighty says, I will create death, al-maut. So they, the angel said, then their lives will be anxious and depressing. Allah Almighty says, undoubtedly I will create umid, hope and expectation. What is death? So we tend to associate death with mere nothingness. But death is simply the opposite of life. Alama Qurtubi mentions here that it is the transferal from one state to another. And Imam Jalaluddin As-Suyuti mentions these words in his Sharh Sudur. So in other words, death does not imply mere obliteration or non-existence, but rather death implies the departure from this world. There is a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, top of page 18, that death is a blessing, sin is a catastrophe. Dependency, poverty is tranquility. Richness is a torment. Intelligence is Allah Almighty's gift. Ignorance is misleading. Tyranny is regrettable. Obedience is coolness to the eyes. Weeping is the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Or weeping in the pleasure of Allah Almighty is salvation. Whilst laughing is the cause of destruction. And one who sincerely repents from his sins is like the one who has no sins. At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu. Like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as we alluded to earlier, remember often the destroyer of pleasures, ya'ni al-maut. Once a person has tasted death, they enter into the third stage of their life, which is referred to as alamul Barzakh, the intermediate realm. Allah Almighty alludes to this in the Quran in Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse number 100, as you can see, middle of page 18. And again, for those of you who joined us late, I already mentioned this. We had no intentions to print these books. The gaps that you see are simply because the original designer, he only had the PDF made for us. As you can see on the PDF, it's all clear. But the brother who printed the books, despite getting someone to try and deal with it in terms of getting it as a print layout, is it? Huh? That's the one. Formatted it. Clearly he didn't format it right, did he? But chalo, we shouldn't be negative. The intermediate realm is the abode that lies between the world and the life to come. It is a place where spirits and spiritual things are predominant. Physical bodies are secondary, but they do share with the spirits in the experiences, whether joy or torment. Bottom of page 18, this says, according to his or her faith and actions in the previous life, a person will either enjoy the favors of Allah Almighty during this time, or that person will be punished. There is that narration from Sahih al-Bukhari, which we mentioned here. And then, page 19, we have those whose bodies will not decay or perished, whose bodies will not decay or perish in the grave. So the messengers and the prophets, the martyrs, the awliyaullah, those who used to call the adhan, the muadhineen, the scholars who acted upon their knowledge, the memorizers of the Quran who acted upon what was revealed in it. So in Barzakh, different souls are kept in different places according to their degree, according to their status. Some of the souls will reside in the graves, whilst others will lie between the sky and the heaven and the earth. And the soul of the disbelievers will be in a place called Sijin, whilst the soul of the believers are kept in a place called Illiyin. Then we know the questioning of the grave. How many questions? Three. Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? Madinuka, what is your religion? And the third question, the most important question, Ma kunta taqulu fi hadhur rajul li Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what did you say? Yefil madi al istimrari, past continuous. What do you say? Yani, just before you died, what was your aqidah regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And it's this third question that Imam Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, and Imam Muslim mentions in his Sahih. The first two questions you'll find in Abu Dawud Sharif and other books of Ahadith Mubarakah. According to Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, the most important question is the third question. And it makes sense, right? Usually when we do a GCSE paper or an A-level paper, the question at the end is the one that carries the most marks. Answer the question at the end right, then you think you've passed. Answer the third question in the grave right, no doubt you will have. But you only get to the third question when you answer the first two questions right. Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? Even the Jews and the Christians said that their Lord is Allah. Any Orthodox Jews and Christians. So then, second question, what is your religion? Even Wahhabiya, Salafiya, Najdiya, Qadianis, as we already mentioned, Shia, they said that their religion is Islam as well. So then it all comes down to that third question. What do you say about this man? Yani Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is that narration in Bukhari. This is in Bukhari, right? Kitab al-Janaiz. The actual words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That the one in the grave will say, that when he is shown the wadduha chera, wallayl zulfa of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will say, the believer will say what? Ashhadu annahu abdullahi wa rasuluhu. That I testify that he is the servant of Allah and his messenger. Unzur ila maqadika minan nar. Munkar and Nakir, the two angels of the grave, will say to him that, look, that could have been your place in Jahannam. But because you've answered this question right, abdalakallahu bihi maqadatan minal jannati. Now you will reside in the gardens of paradise for eternity. Will you be asked about your salah in the grave? Not yet. That's on the day of judgment. Will you be asked about zakat and siyam and umrah and hajj in the grave? No, that will be on the day of judgment. But the first stage of the hereafter is the grave. The one who is successful in the grave will be successful on the day of judgment. And as I've said before, I'll say it again, that the questions in the grave are related to aqidah. So where today people are trivializing the importance of aqidah, where today people are saying, no, it's okay, you can say what you want about the Sahaba, you can say what you want about the Ahlul Bayt, you can say what you want about Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then chalo. things will become apparent on that first night in the grave. As for the hypocrite and the disbeliever, they will say what? The kuntu akulu ma yakulun nas. That I simply said what the people said. Hypocrite, disbeliever, they will say what? I simply said what the people said. People said don't do milashrif. I said don't do milashrif. People said he doesn't have ilmul ghaib. I said he doesn't have ilmul ghaib. People said he's not hazir and nazir. I said he's not hazir and nazir. And people said that he can't. He's just a normal human being. He's not noor. I just said what the people said. Allahu Akbar. So then that person, Munkar and Nakir will say to them, La daraita wa la talaita, that you essentially, neither did you know nor did you take any guidance. ثم يضرب بمطرقة من حديد ضربة بين أذنيه. And then Munkar and Nakir, or the angels of the grave, who will carry out the punishment that the person will be experienced, they will strike huge metal, iron hammers in between the udhunayn, the two ears of that person. The punishment of the grave, Azab al Qabr, which no doubt is a reality. And then bottom of page 19, the Prophet ﷺ said what? Either your grave will be rawdatun min riyadil jannah, or it will be a pit from the pits of Jahannam. Top of page 20, when nearly there, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a believer passes away, his prayers appears at his headside, his charity appears on his right, and his fasting appears towards his chest. So you won't be questioned about the deeds, but they will certainly benefit you in the grave. What you will be questioned about is aqidah, which we need to be fully aware of. And then we have the discussion regarding the people who will not be questioned in the grave. Again, messengers and prophets and martyrs and Muslims who are killed in oppression and Muslims who die in a plague, the truthful, the siddiq, and the Muslim children who we were talking about earlier, and the Muslims who die on a Friday, and the one who recites Suratul Mulk every night before going to sleep will not be questioned in the grave, and the one who recites Suratul Ikhlas at the time of his final illness. That's where it is. As for the questioning of the non-Muslim children and whether they will enter paradise or hell, the scholars have differed over this. The correct opinion is that it is as Allah Almighty wills, and we leave the matter to Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Jannat, well, if we start talking about Jannat, we're here till midnight. The reality is what? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend the beauties of Jannah, paradise. The awes and wonders of Jannah. So we have Jannat and we have Jahannam. I'll give you a minute or two just to read through Jannat and Jahannam here. I'm sure you're tired of hearing my voice now. Nobody said no. And then we have the concluding 2 points, and then inshallah, one share of Salatu Salam, and then dua. Are you okay with that, Hafiz Mu'in? Please read the sections on Jannat and Jahannam, Heaven and Hell, pages 20, 21, and 22. Reading, not talking. The last two discussions here in the book, and then we're done. Penultimate discussion, page 22. The life of the prophets in the grave. Time doesn't permit to go into the length of the discussion. It is firmly established as the Aqeedah of the Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah that people in their graves are nonetheless alive, and that they are fully capable of hearing, understanding, perceiving, and they have faculties which are characteristic of the living. And this is normal people, even disbelievers. This is then a materialistic, secular philosophy according to which the occupants of the graves are non-existent, without souls, and thus cannot hear, perceive, or understand. Sadly, this secular mindset has afflicted some of the Muslims in the recent past, who have ended up believing that the prophets and the awliya in their graves are also unable to hear or understand what the living said to them. And they brand whoever speaks to the dead, inverted commas, they brand them as kuffar or grave worshippers. You braille visa grave worshippers. When in reality, they are the ignorant ones of what their religion is about and what our religion teaches us. We've given you an extract, should I say, from Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti rahimahullah ta'ala's work, that they mention in the Hawil al-Fatawa, that volume 2, page 147, the life of the Prophet in his grave, he and the remaining prophets, is well known amongst us as absolutely correct due to the numerous proof texts that indicate so, which have reached the status of tawatur. And these evidences, though again, I would love to sit here, and by Allah I would if I could, but I know I can't. But these evidences you find here on page 23 and 24. So, for example, the evidences that we use to establish the Hayatul Anbiya fi quburihim, the life of the prophets in their graves. Top of page 23, touch and go. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ So you might say these are verses related to the martyrs. What's this got to do with the prophets? The paragraph here on page 23 explains this, that it is impossible and illogical to think that Allah Almighty cannot provide sustenance to those who are dead. In light of the above verses, it is established that the martyrs are alive and that Allah Almighty provides sustenance for them. Hey, if the martyrs are alive in their graves, then no doubt the prophets are also alive in their graves. For the rank of the prophets is greater than that of the martyrs. مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا Okay. And then we've also referenced from the Quran where the Prophet Salih alayhi salam, the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, spoke to and addressed the disbelievers from amongst their people who had died and they were in their graves. Again, this would not have been possible if Allah Almighty had not given them life in the grave. We know that after the Battle of Badr, 70 mushrikeen in Makkah who were killed, thrown into the pit of Badr. We went to Badr Sharif a couple of weeks ago. Abu Jahl, Abu Jahl, Utbah, Shaybah, Umayyah bin Khalaf and others. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addresses them. Sahih Muslim Sharif ki riwayat. Sayyidina Umar asked, Ya Rasulullah, do you speak to those who are dead? Oh Umar, you perceive them to be dead. Reality is that they are alive. They hear just as clearly as you hear. The only difference is that they don't respond to what I'm saying. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say to them? That have you found the promise of your Lord to be true? Allahu Akbar. And then other evidences from Sunnah here as well. We mentioned 11 ahadith mubarakah. As they would say, knock yourselves out. But then those people who go around saying, Ma'adallah, that the Prophet ﷺ is dead. Don't ask him, ask Allah Almighty directly. This is the whole Wahhabiyya, Salafiyya, Najdiyya ideology, and this is the Batil, Aqidah, Nazriya that they present to the people in order to confuse the masses and misguide the public. Understand and know that our Rasul is alive. Tu zinda hai wallah. Tu zinda hai wallah. Mere chashme alam se chup jane wale. Clear cut ahadith mubarak. Like number two here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? Al anbiya'u ahya'un fi quburihim yusalluna. That the prophets are alive in their graves. Not only are they alive, but they pray to Allah Almighty Jalla wa'ala. Huh? And then the last point here, and then we've done well, haven't we? Is the discussion regarding Isari Thawab. Again, we could spend the next half an hour going through the full discussion here. This is a belief, and these are those practices which now today, second generation, third generation, fourth generation Muslims in this country are questioning. And they are labeling it as bid'at, as an innovation. And because our parents and grandparents, they can't satisfy the youngster who goes to the colleges and universities. And they say, oh, because my father did it, that's why. That's not sufficient, is it? So we've included here, what is the meaning of Isari Thawab? Top of page 25. What is our belief in regards to this, in light of what the Akabirin have written? Like, for example, in Fatawa Rizviya, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ali Sunnat Parwana Ishq wa Mahabbat Imam Ahmad Riza Khan Alayhi Rahmat wa Ridwan, what they have said. Again, I'm going to resist the urge of mentioning all of what they have said. We've also mentioned an extract here from Al-Hidayah Sharif as well. Imam Abu Bakr Al-Marghinani Rahimahullah Ta'ala. And then bottom of page 25, so that you're at least acquainted with what's in the book. Top of page 26, evidence is in light of the Quran. Primary evidence is the dua that we read in light of the verse from Surah Al-Hashr, verse number 10. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. And then what Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti rahimahullah ta'ala has said regarding this verse. Top of page number 26. And then the verse that we mentioned earlier, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. And then we mentioned 8 prophetic narrations establishing the permissibility of conveying the rewards of our deeds and our actions to the deceased. So nobody should be confused after this. And then further to strengthen the discussion, we have evidence from Ijma as well. Consensus of the ulama. Ibn Taymiyyah himself, number 3, page 27. Ibn Taymiyyah himself, who is considered Shaykh al-Hadith by the Wahhabiyya, Najdiyya, Salafiyya, even he himself says what? And the Salatul Janaza, making dua istighfar for the deceased, making dua maghfirat, supplications at the grave, all of this benefits the deceased. And we've given you reference here as well. So I don't understand what more can be said. But nevertheless, Alhamdulillah, with this, though we have slightly rushed it towards the end, but I feel sufficient is what we have said and gone through in the last 5 hours and 10 minutes. 4 o'clock was Maghrib, 6:30 was Isha. Either side of Isha, we had a short break, yani a break for samosa and a break for Suratul Mulk. But Alhamdulillah, I am confident that what we have gone through, you have received with confidence. If there are books that you want to buy for further reading, then this is one book I recommend. Reports on Dajjal, Akhbarud Dajjal, by Imam Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi, who was a famous scholar from Palestine. This has recently been translated. You have 107 prophetic narrations regarding the Antichrist. And there are other books which you can, one book you can download for free is the translation of Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti Rahimahullah Ta'ala's Sharh al-Sudur. It's available in English for free. All you have to do is type Sharh al-Sudur in the Google engine search bar, is it? And you can download it for free. It will give you more knowledge on what we've discussed this evening, and many other books like this as well. Any good that I mentioned, Dorani Guftagu, no doubt is from Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and through the efforts and the du'as of my asatiza and my teachers, any wrong that I may have said or slip of the tongue, I ask Allah Almighty to forgive me and to shower His mercies upon us all. Once again, I'm extremely grateful to the Intizamiya, the A'imma, of this masjid, and bil khusus my dear sincere Rafiq and Sahib Muhtaram Maulana Hafiz Mu'in for the efforts in facilitating this one day course, Principles of Creed Part 3. And hopefully those who've attended all three lectures now shouldn't have any issues regarding their aqeedah. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala bless you all and shower His mercies and blessings upon your parents, upon your children. Ameen Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa ma alayna illa al-balaq.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. First of all, we thank Imam Adil Saab for accepting our invitation and attending. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him for the sacrifices he has given to spread the deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his imminent blessings and mercy upon him. Second is next program. I would like to say it and announce it here because I would like to see the people I see here today in that program, and that will be the New Year's Eve program. Inshallah, after Salatul Isha on the 31st of December, we have a program in the masjid which will start with our Imam and his Shama'il series, and then we have a small speech, a question and answer session. We'll be giving out prizes on the spot for those that answer correctly. And then we will have a burda, inshallah, for half an hour, and then some food. So inshallah, spend your New Year's Eve in the masjid and not at home looking at the TV and watching fireworks. Jazakallah for attending, and I hope you will leave today with a lot of knowledge. These books that you have in front of you are for you to take home, revisit them. There's a lot of things inside about our aqidah, and for those that do not want those books, give it back to us so someone else could benefit from them. Right, but don't leave him here, don't leave him on your desk. Take him home with you or give it back to us so someone else could benefit. Jazakallah, we'll have a short salatu salam dua and then you're free to go home. Jazakallah.
Mustafa jaane rehmat pe laakhon salaam, shamae bazme hidayat pe laakhon hum ghareebon ke aankhon pe behad durood, hum faqeeron ki sarwat pe laakhon salaam. Mustafa jaane rehmat pe laakhon salaam, shamae bazme hidayat pe ek mera hi rehmat pe daawa nahi, shah ki sari ummat pe laakhon salaam, kaash mahshar mein jab unki aamad ho aur bheje sab unki shaukat pe laakhon, mujhse khidmat ke qudsi kahe haraza, mujhse khidmat ke qudsi kahe haraza. Mustafa jaane rehmat pe laakhon salaam, Mustafa jaane rehmat pe laakhon salaam, shamae bazme hidayat pe
ایک واری سورۃ الفاتحہ شریف، تین واری سورۃ الاخلاص شریف، اول آخر دروش شریف، فدی سال ثواب اب اول اباو صحابہ کرام اہل البیت اطہار علماء حق اب دی اہل سنت والجماعہ فدی سال ثواب اب اول اب دی انبیاء والمرسلین اور بالخصوص also for سیدنا و مولانا و خیرنا ابو بکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ whose یوم وصال is in this month of جمعہ الاخر and the Palestinians who have innocently lost their lives in the recent atrocities. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin ar-rahman ar-rahim maliki yawmiddin iyyaka na'budu nasta'in ihdina siratal mustaqim siratal ladzina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim qul huwa آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفينا ومولانا صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا أتمم لنا نورنا واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وزدنا حكما والحمد لله على كل حال اللهم انا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن دعاء لا يسمع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع اللهم انا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من عذاب النار اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا عزيز يا جبار يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم انا نسالك الجنه ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم اجرنا من النار يا مجير يا مجير يا مجير يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا هنان يا منان يا ذا الجلال والاكرام Accept this mahfil or majlis in your bargah. From Salatul Maghrib till now, Ya Allah, the good that we participated in, bil khusus Salatul Maghrib ba jama'at, Salatul Isha ba jama'at, or tilawat of the Quran, bayani light of Quran and Sunnah, all of the good that we have participated in, Ya Allah, we ask of you, accept all of this in your bargah. That the reward of our good deeds, bil khusus ayat-i muqaddasat that we have recited, first and foremost, hadiyatan, tawfatan, aqidatan, mahabbatan, adaban, be conveyed to the bargah of Huzur Jana Jana, Tajdari Madina, Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, then through the wasila and vast of Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let the reward be conveyed to all of the Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Yathar, Azwaj, Mutahharat, Walidain, Karimain, Olaade Paak of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shuhudai Badr, Shuhudai Uhud, Shuhudai Yamama, Shuhudai Karbobala, Bil Khuzuz, Bargai, Afdalul Bashar, Ba'dal Anbiya, Bitahkik, Yari Ghar, Yari Mazaz, Sayyiduna, Wa Maulana, Wa Khayruna, Abu Bakr, Siddiq, Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Ya Allah, we ask of you, continuously raise their darajat in the akhirah. Allow us to benefit from their fuyuz of barakat. Allow us to follow in their naqsh qadam. Just as they made qurbaniya of their jaan, maal, aulad, for deen e mateen, Ya Allah, we ask of you, allow us to also make qurbaniya for this religion of Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we ask of you then through the wasila and vasta of Siddiqui Akbar, let the reward of our good deeds be conveyed to all of the awliya, sufiya, ulama, mujtahideen, mufassirin, muhaddithin, aimai tariqat, aimai shariat, shuhadai ummat, sulahai ummat of the ahli sunnati wal jama. From Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, all the way to Amirul Mujahideen, Fanafi, Khatamin Nabiyin, Alama Khadim Hussein Rizvi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, Alay. Ya Allah, we ask of you that you raise all of their darajat in the Akhirah. Ya Allah, then through their fuyuz of barakat, let the reward be conveyed to all of our marhumin, marhumat who have left this dunya from our families, those who are shamil in this dua, bil khusus our parents who have left this dunya, grandparents, great grandparents, aunties and uncle, young and old brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, Ya Allah, raise all of their darajat in the Akhirah. Our Palestinian brothers and sisters, or wherever the Ummatis have been suffering and losing life, Ya Allah, we ask of you raise their darajat in the Akhirah. The martyrs of the recent atrocities and the genocide that is happening, Ya Allah, we ask of you raise their darajat in the Akhirah. Allow them to benefit from the reward of what we have accumulated by way of good deeds on this evening, bil khusus ayat-i muqaddasat. Ya Allah, those who have facilitated this principles of Creed Part 3 here at Masjid-e-Quba. Imma Hazrat, Intizamiya Afrad, Bilkhusus Muhtaram, Maulana Hafiz Mu'in Sahib, Ya Allah, we ask of you that you accept all of the efforts in your barakha. All those who have attended, whether they sat for 1 minute, whether they sat for the entire 4 hours, Ya Allah, we ask of you, give each and every person ajr wa jaza fid darain. Allow this knowledge, Ya Allah, to be a means of roshni entering into our hearts and be a means of roshni entering into our graves. Ya Allah, we ask of you, allow this knowledge to be a shade for us on the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, we ask of you that you forgive us for our minor and major sins. We turn back to you. We ask of you, for we have no one else to ask from. Ya Allah, forgive us for our minor and major sins. Ya Allah, grant us all istiqamat upon the deen, ikhlas within our deeds and actions, firmness upon aqidah ahli sunnati wal jama'a. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi وصحبه أجمعين ارحمنا يا مولانا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم